Simon Shinpei Hei. Din Sh'eila Shalom Ba'avim. Says the Mechaber, and this is all pretty unfortunate Gemara, Avil Asr Sh'eila Shalom, Ketzad, Shloshi Yom Rishon, remember the first 3 days are often more Nachmir, Eino Shalom 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 Adam, Yachim Lo Yadu Shu Avil Shalom Shalom Lo Yashiv Lohem, Elo Yodiyem Shehu Avil. Okay, so the first 3 days he doesn't say Shalom Aleichem or something like that. And if other people don't know he's an Avel, or perhaps more common nowadays, they don't know the Halacha, and they say Shalom, he doesn't answer them. He just tells them an Avel, and I don't respond. Right? From 3 until 7, he doesn't initiate. But since it's not polite to not respond, if someone says Shalom to him, he responds. Shalom. He asks after other people Shalom because they have Shalom. But other people don't inquire after his Shalom because he is not b'Shalom because he's still recovering from the Avelos. Then for sure, if he can even initiate, he can for sure answer not to insult someone. After Shloshim, he's like everyone else. Until you base Chodesh, you don't inquire for his Shalom for 12 months. Okay, now the big question is, let's see what this includes. Says the Ramami, Achsha Asr Shel Shalom, Kol Shein Shasr Harbus Vidvar. If he's Asr and even Shel Shalom, for sure he's Asr to have long conversations. So this is referring to the time of Shiva, not to Shloshim. This means during Shiva, you shouldn't have idle conversation that's not relevant to the Shiva house. The Avel should not engage, or you should engage him in a long, idle conversation. Obviously, sometimes you have a very quick thing you need to talk about that's not relevant, but you shouldn't have a long, irrelevant discussion. Okay, this is a mice in the Gemara. If it's for cover to the Rabbin, there were makel for cover to the Rabbin. I don't know, maybe this nowadays, I don't know if you have to say this to the Rabbin, but I guess when it's socially expected that it would be not respectful towards the Rabbin to not wish them shalom, you can say, like, lech l'shalom to the Rabbin, chulubad hechum l'shalom, because it's very important not to insult the Rabbin. V'yesh v'kilu ha'idna v'shel shalom ha'avel l'achar yat lamed. Some people nowadays are mekel after shloshim, meaning only applies to someone in mourning for their parents. V'ein tam lahem, he can't forget a reason for this, im lo shi chalku lomar, unless they distinguish and say, should be mayhem, that what we do is not the real kind of shalom, shalom that they used to have. It says the Shach on this. That's not a good reason, because then we should be mekel even within 30 days. Not only after 30 days. And besides, that's not a valid chiluk. Okay, here, there's a big question exactly what the Rambam meant by differentiating between what we do now and Sheila Shalom. In the Darkei Moshe here, it says, look at Simon Pei Tes of Shulchan Aruch, of Aruch Haim, and in Simon Pei Tes, there's more than one way of interpreting exactly what he means. And then the question is, do we paskin like him? So what does he mean? He might mean that what is paskin mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Pei Tes, that good morning is different than shalom. Nowadays, now it's a little funny, but he could be, nowadays we don't say lech l'shalom and shalom aleichem and shalom, you know. Instead, we say good morning, tav for tava, and hello, and goodbye, and things like that. All right? So therefore, since we don't use the word shalom, it's mutter. Maybe that's what he means. Or, if you want to be more radical, it's not clear. There's another opinion brought down in Simon Pei Tes. What is Simon Pei Tes about? Agav, or Chaim, Simon Pei Tes is about the Isser saying shalom to your friend before davening. So, one halacha there is you're allowed to say good morning, which is not shalom. The other halacha there, without getting into the details, is there's an opinion there that it's only to say shalom and bow, which is what they used to do in the old days, apparently, sometimes. That's what's usher before davening, because then it's mamish, like already borders on some sort of worship. But just to say shalom aleichem is mutter. So what did the Ramah mean here is unclear. Did he mean to matter anything without bowing and relying on that which he quoted in Siman Pei Tes? But then it seems totally illogical. Like, I understand. If you're talking about before davening, maybe it makes a difference if you bow to your friend or not. Because, like, bowing is like worshiping, and you should worship Hashem first. But when it comes to Avelis, why did it make a difference if you're bowing or not? Or maybe he means, and this is what most, therefore that doesn't make any sense. What most Achronim assume he means is that, no, it's that nowadays, which is also going to be a little dachuk, we don't say Shalom Aleichem, we just say good morning. And good morning is not the same as Shalom Aleichem. Again, in Peites, that's easier to stomach, because Shalom Aleichem is the name of Hashem. Shalom is the name of Hashem, so you don't want to use Hashem's name for a person before you speak to Hashem. But here also you could say, you know, if it's not Mama Shalom, after all, we did bring up who's B'Shalom, who's not B'Shalom. You know, if you just say good morning, that's not as bad as Shalom, because Shalom is the opposite of Avelis. But good morning, even though good is also the opposite of Avelis, maybe hello is better, but even so, it's not Shalom. So that's the big question. What did the Ramah mean to be Mekel here? And the Ramah himself says it's not a good kula. And the Shachol says not a good kula. So is it a good kula? So here, I'm not sure. But you could, here you get to a big machlokas. How do you paskin? Right? Do you paskin? Forget about what the Rambam meant. But how do we paskin about just the tzafra tava? Right? Which may be what the Rambam means to be mekel. Right? So that might be what the Rambam means to be mekel, and the Rambam shach reject. Right? Ulai zeh hakula. Hanizkar Biramah B'Shach. Well, Biramah questions it, right? He says, unless they're Machali. Maybe that's the Kula Nizkar Biramah Shehashach Cholakolov. Right? But we're not sure if he was talking about the Kula of good morning, or if maybe he was the even bigger Kula of saying that you're even allowed to show it without bowing. So it's not clear what he's referring to in Siman Pei Tes. Okay, Lemaisa, how do we paskin about that? If you look on our page, the Berhetev, right? You only have to look for parentheses in the Berhetev, because if you read the Shach and the Taz, anything that's not a parentheses in the Berhetev is just repetition, but there's a parentheses in the Berhetev here. It says, Miuef Shalomar, maybe you could say, and it seems to be that he's explaining the Ramah this way, that Mozart Shil Shalom is Safra Tava, and that's not Shil Shalom Mamish, it's not Shalom. And then he brings down the other thing, that maybe saying Shalom without bowing is okay. Okay, so maybe we're not Shilah Shalom. Certainly, he brings down both opinions, but certainly the Berhete is Mako and says it's okay to say good morning and similar things. The Gilyan Maharsha here says on the side, Masha Ona Noagin, Masha Asher Lishonayim Shalom Shushmo Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, Vol Rashi Lomer Tzafro Demara Tav. Okay, sounds like he is also saying it's okay. He's saying whatever's mutter there is mutter here. Not necessarily such a good comparison, because if they're all there, it has to be theology of how you're disrespecting Hashem and not being happy. And here it has to do with being happy and contented. But still, you could say, look, Shalom. You don't have Shalom when you're Avelis. And you don't invoke Hashem's name for Shalom and Avelis. Just say good morning is not a big deal. So here we have definitely Mekilin, the Mishnah Brua in Hilchas Tisha B'Av, quoting quite a number of Achronim there, says, totally usher, even good morning's usher. Says, yeah, good morning, what to say to your friend before davening? Because that has to do with theology, not with happiness. But when it comes to happiness, good morning is also wrong. Good morning is like, good morning, like, oh, it's a regular day. You know, isn't it a wonderful day? And it's not if you're in Avelis, and it's not if you're in Tisha B'Av. Says in the Mishnah Berurah, in Siman Tavkof Nun Dalet, Sifkot and Mem Aleph, says, Ain't she, Lashon B'Tisha B'Av, Din Lomer Lo Tzafer Tavanami Aser. So also Asur to say good morning for the Elio Rabbah and the Chai Adam and other Achronim. So says the Mishnah Brura, the Shem, I'll tell you where it is, Tafkof Mem Dalet, Sivkat Mem Aleph, the Shem Achronim, Asur. So Asur Tishma, Tishma was like Shiva, Lachor, who had been for Shiva, for sure for Shiva, because Shiva is actually more chomer than Tisha when it comes to Shiloh Shalom, because it's not before the Gemara to Asur Shiloh Shalom on Tisha B'Av, but it is before the Gemara to Asur Shiloh Shalom for Avelos. The Gesher Chayim is Machmir. Is Machmir like the Mishnah Brura? He's Machmir like the Mishnah Brura, even though he says, I see the Tati Mekel. Lamaisi is Machmir like the Mishnah Brura. Our Minhag is like the Mishnah Brura, not like this very Hatev and Gilyan Marsha. Our minag is, although we'll come back to it in a second, our minag is the prop. Now, if someone, when they're in Avil, says hello, good morning, goodbye, things like that, they have what to rely on, right? They have what to rely on. But the minag is not the way. The minag is that when an Avil is sitting Shiva, there's no hello, no goodbye, no anything like that. When I can't make it to a Shiva house, let's say it's on the other side of an ocean or something, and I call, I don't say hello to the Avil. I don't say goodbye to the Avel. You know, you don't say these pleasantries. These are for regular days. Certainly don't say good morning to the Avel. Not any words of greeting. We don't say. That is our minhag. However, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Kim Duma, 1 second, that our minhag is that after Shiva, we're mekel on Shela Shalom. You think after Shiva, no one's makbid. Why after Shiva is no one makbid? So he thinks because we don't have a real Shela Shalom, because we don't say Shalom nowadays. Basically, he says, he thinks this Kula, the Ramah says, that Yesh Mekilim after Shloshim. And the Shach says, maybe we should make it within Shloshim. He thinks our minhag is we make it after Shiva a little more than the Ramah. So says the Aruch HaShulchan. After Shiva, no Hagim Lehakel. In this, and it could be also the Berhate and the Gilim Arsha, maybe they were talking about Ramah, who's after Shloshim, where you could stretch a little after Shiva. Nearer that the mainstream Minhag Olam is that within Shiva we're Machmir, and after Shiva we are Mekel. Right? If I see someone, the Avel, after he gets up from Shiva, he's going to work, normal for Shish, Shloshim, Yud Beis Chodesh Alav Aim, then I say good morning, but I try to remember not to say Shalom Aleichem, because he's not the Shalom. Yes. It's a little funny because look at the example. L'chulav atechem l'shalom. It's not really asking like mashalom cha, you mean. So it's funny. She'ela shalom sounds like ask, how are you, right? But in the poskim they seem to assume that it just means a greeting. That they don't seem to take it in the direction of asking. And you even see that in what? It's interesting. Is how are you better than saying hello? I think if you mean how are you holding up with your Shiva, then I think it would be better than saying hello. Then you really you're seeing to see how they're handling it, if they need help or something. I think that's taka okay. It's funny, even though she'ela shalom, I know it sounds like asking how they're doing. We interpret it to mean shalom. Isn't there a we're just talking about Boaz. Boaz is Takana? Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. Right, what's the Lashon there? I don't know if I remember the Lashon there correctly. I don't always remember the Lashon correctly. But I thought you could just, in terms of what the words mean, in Lashon Chazal, maybe. Yeah, look at this. Hekinu she'adam shoel shlom chaver b'shem. How do we know? Because Boaz says, Hashem imachem, and they said, Yivarecha Hashem. Right? So, no one was shoel anything, right? Hashem imachem, Yivarecha Hashem. So it's funny, even though you're right, the word shoel sounds like questions, it really, the question is not the inyan here. It's really just the blessing of shalom, right? Shoel is shlom chaver. It's called she'ela shalom, and they say, Yivarecha Hashem. Right? So it really just means greetings. Or maybe only greetings with shalom or a higher name of Hashem. Okay, halacha l'maisa, I think the mainstream minhag is everyone has a slightly different idea. is that during Shiva we don't do greetings at all. Although whatever, someone has wanted to be Somechan. But, and after Shiva, someone has wanted to be Somechan if they want to be Machmir. And I think the Menegolim is that after Shiva, really, most people don't think of this at all after Shiva. But it's very, you know, but I think it would be reasonable to not say Shalom to the Avel after Shiva, but to say good morning.
I also have a question, like, after Shiva, if you pick up your phone, like, it's normal to say hello. That's also kind of...
From what I've seen, those who are medactic in the halacha, they don't even say hello on the phone, even though you could say hello on the phone. It's just a way of, like, seeing who's on the phone. From what I've seen, I'm sure there's room to be mekel. What I've seen in those who are medactic is if someone's sitting shiva, he picks up the phone, he doesn't say, hello, who is this? He says, this is, you know, Reuven Schwartz. And the person says, hi, it's your long, you know, it's your cousin Shimon calling from Australia, and I'm so sorry to hear, etc., etc. That's it. When you call the Avel, you know, instead of saying hello, you say, this is Asaf Bednarsh, sorry that I'm too far away to visit, but I wanted to, you know, call to express my condolences, or vichuli. Okay, so that is Sheila Shalom again. I think the real truth is a lot of people in the world aren't really makfit at all after Shiva. But lechora, it's a very difficult svara to not be makfit at all after Shiva. So at least we should try to be makfit, not to say shalom aleichem to the Avel after Shiva, but we could say good morning. Okay, Sif Beis. Hamotzi chaver Avel b'soch lamed yom adam yotel chuvim ve'inu shol b'shlomo. Within 30 days, we know you don't say shalom. Rather, but, and it is appropriate to be menachem explicitly. After Shloshim, then you're Shol B'Shalom, and you don't say Tanchumi Kedarko, because after all, it died down a little. Element outside, you say more indirectly. Right, so you don't say, you know, etc. You know, with explicitly. Oh, you know, after 30 days, so sorry to hear about your father dying. You know, may Hashem comfort you, etc. You just say Tisnachim, etc. Mesa Ishtov Nasa Acheres. What if someone's wife died and they remarried? We'll see in some circumstances, mutter for a husband to remarry very soon. Then Eino Nechel Beis Lavrin. You don't go to the house to be Tanchumen because that would be perhaps a problem shal bias. Everyone knows, you know, when people get remarried, it's always complicated. Everyone has their own way of doing things, but it could be seen as insulting to the new wife to be menachem for the old wife. And then from Matzav Shuk, even if you find it outside the house, on the stuff, we saw a Ralph of Kohen Brosh. Right, you say it quietly and seriously, just a quick tisnachim and atzad, but not too much, because once he's remarried, therefore, we minimize the tanchumen for the first wife in order to have respect for the shalom bayis of the second wife. Aval im lo nasa acheres, but if he did not remarry, then medarim tanchumen ashiyavu gimel golem, then unlike other relatives, all the regular relatives, the sons and daughters and brothers and sisters, you only are menachem for 30 days. But a wife, you're menachem for up to 3 regalim, because we say that really, since it's paradoxical, if you trace the halachos of Avelos, relationship between a husband and wife in some ways is closer than another relative, in some ways is less close than another relative, because after all, it's a very different relationship. On the one hand, it's something that can be broken. It's not blood. It's not built into you. On the other hand, precisely because it is someone who you forge a relationship with and not just born into, that relationship is deeper. So we say, really, for 3 regalim, the husband is still mourning for his wife, not in the strictest, not in the halachic sense of hilchos avelos, but he still feels the loss of his wife for 3 regalim, and therefore you can talk to him regular tanchumen for 3 regalim if he hasn't remarried. It's a machlok, we've shown him 2 or 3, we'll see if you're passing 3. Val of Valim of Darim Tuchun Yuve Chodesh for parents, since it's Yuve Chodesh, you talk to Anchumen directly, call Yuve Chodesh, the Ach Yuve Chodesh, not remote, not sad, you do it indirectly. Yes?
What does Sparta follow like Regolem
context in there? The Sparta follow Regolem seems to be because, like, each regal is a very joyous occasion and, like, makes you feel a little better.
I was wondering if that was, like, at the court, but it's, like, very different than, like, other, like, cases.
Correct, so I guess, because this particular, you know, avelos for the husband for the wife, which is based on his, you know, based much more on his emotional experience than on his identity, therefore, the experiences of encircling the cycle of the year, but I think mainly just the simple regalim can assuage it, as opposed to those which are just built into his blood, which just last for a certain amount of time. But it is, you know, there's definitely, the world would have a lot of deep philosophy to say about this. Makom shenagul yosholim sholim veil meshabas sholim. Okay, the Rishali point assumes that there are different minhagim about Shabbos. V'kasav Rambam she'avon lo shetol lecholon meshabas shemikval dvarim shevar hesya. So, is there shel shalom on Shabbos or not? The Rambam writes that there is shel shalom on Shabbos. Others it would be avails for hesya to not say Shabbat shalom. Would be avails for hesya because everyone else is saying it and this guy isn't. So there are different minhagim. Lemaisa, it says it depends on the makom. Now, here, he says, if you look technically at the Rambam, it says, the Avol gives Shalom to everyone. How about everyone giving Shalom to the Avol? So there, it's not so clear, right? That seems to be a makom. It depends on the meaning of makom. If you can ask Shalom to the Avol, the Avol has to say Shabbat Shalom to some people. So if he stands there quietly, that's a field for Hesya. But you have to go over to the Avol? That's not a field for Hesya. So, here, or is it? So it's a borderline case. So, it depends on the meaning of makom. Halach l'maisa, I've seen many of the modern day Sfarim who are not Machriya. They say it depends on your minhag makom, which is a little funny because like don't figure out what your minhag makom is. It's much harder than you think to figure out the minhag makom on this. We'll say, I don't know. I don't notice if the guy in the shul on Shabbos, what he is, etc., etc. So it's not clear what our minhag makom is. The Gesher Chaimim says there are some people who just avoid the Avil on Shabbos, so that they didn't have to get into this question. Although I'm not sure that's a great idea. Always. Lemaisa, it's not so clear what our minhag makom is in terms of Shalom Shalom Avelim on Shabbos. But Lemaisa, if it's not so clear what our minhag is, and it's an Avelos, we're always Makel, then we can be Makel on Shalom Shalom Avelim on Shabbos. Okay, if you live in America, everyone says good Shabbos, say good Shabbos to the Avelim instead of Shabbat Shalom. Wonderful. But if you live in Israel, where communities where everyone says Shabbat Shalom, then Lemaisa, I think we can be Makel if we're not sure what the minhag of our makom is. Okay, we ask the local rabbi, what's the minhag of our makom? He'll say, I have no idea. Or probably. So there's room to be Makel Lemaisa. Adds the Ramah. Now here he says there are certain things that are the equivalent of She'ela Shalom. One thing is the equivalent of She'ela Shalom is Mar Bibit Varman, but that we assume is only during Shiva. There are certain things that are the equivalent of She'ela Shalom all 30 days, and for parents all 12 months. Sending a present. Manos doesn't mean Mishloch Manos on Purim. It also means Mishloch Manos on Purim. It means any present. Yeah, the Avil is a birthday. Send a birthday present. We don't mean tzedakah. That's not a present. We don't mean you do a favor and you pick something up from the store. We mean a present that is just for happiness. So, you know, it's not called a present if the oven needs a quart of milk and you go to the store and you bring him back a quart of milk. That's not called a present. That's not for happiness. That's just an errand. It's not called a present if the oven is poor and you give him a refrigerator because he doesn't have a refrigerator. But a present means, a birthday present or an anniversary present or, you know, just I went to France and I bring him back something from France for my trip or Mishloach Manos on Purim. These are all called manos, and that's why we all know the minhag is, we all know this from Purim, the minhag is you don't send shalom manos to an avel on Purim, for shloshim, for other relatives, and for yud beis kodesh for parents. But it's not just on Purim. As a matter of fact, on Purim, there's even a tzad to say it's mutter. Maybe Purim's like Shabbos, and maybe on Shabbos it's mutter. There are hernu or mikol on Purim. Our minhag is miachar on Purim, and kol shkein ki miachar the rest of the year. If the avel has a birthday, then you cannot buy him a birthday present. What do? You tell him, okay, next year I'll buy you a double birthday present.
Right, I was going to say, even it's true for like a spouse, like we said before, the relationship's different, like where it's expected maybe to have like presents or ways of affection. Like for an anniversary, for example, like oh, what really shouldn't get for his spouse.
The pashtus is that.
And try to explain it for next year or whatever. Like, I'll do double it.
The Pashto says that the Avil shouldn't even get his spouse a anniversary present. I mean, it gets tricky. You don't want to shalom bayis, etc. And also, maybe there's presents and there's presents when it comes to a spouse. Maybe sometimes a present is, I don't know, for some people, less rich people, a present is really something necessary.
But making a card, is that like allowed or not?
But
like, saying that it's like, how you shouldn't show too much?
What about, I mean, it has nothing to do with affection. It has to do with happiness.
Right.
What about a birthday card? Or a birthday card also seems like Shaila Shalom. Even though you don't use the word shalom, but it seems more celebratory than good morning, or even then good day, or good evening, good night, etc. I don't know. Okay, Sarachin, let's come back to it. I don't know, it could be the spouse shouldn't buy an anniversary present or a birthday present, but I don't know what to think about it. You know, where's the manos usually means a stranger buys you. Right? It's a little funny, like, you know. So I'm not sure about this. It could be that's not manos. If, although the spouse, the chor, shouldn't say shalom aleichem. But maybe it's not called manos. Okay, let's think about that. Lemaisa, so presents is a problem in life. If someone's an avelis, you don't get them a birthday present. That is the real halacha. And even in Purim, the Gilgamesh Shar here brings a machlokas, because Purim may be like Shabbos, but the Maaseh were machron in Purim as well. Another thing that's relevant here is if you look at the Taz, now this gets into something that Simchas Moreis will come back to, but I just want to point out to you in a very important Taz, Kas of Mori Chami Zal, only one Taz, B'Shem Hagav, B'Shem Rabbeinu Yehuda, Avel Toch Lamed in Yochel Hazman Acher Moli Zomim Im Acherim, Ad Kan, B'Nir Ezhud, Nikol Yubei Chodesh, Alav Ve'imo. An Avel cannot invite others or be invited to others. This sounds like going to someone for a meal. Right? What does he assume? Inviting someone for a meal is like Shaila Shalom and Manos. If you only invite someone for a meal, that is a, you know, it's not necessarily celebratory, but it's a happy thing. It's a special occasion when someone invites you for a meal, or you invite someone for a meal. So he says, inviting for a meal is usher for 30 days, or for 12 months, for aviv v'imo, because that is like she'ela shalom. Here, this gets into the famous machlokes, ad hayom hazeh. Very different people say very different things. Can you go out for Shabbos meals, or invite people in for Shabbos meals? During Avelos. And there are different rabbis paskin different things. Some paskin that it's usher the whole time. It sounds from this Taz that it's the gedder of She'ela Shalom. What's the gedder of She'ela Shalom? So, usher during weekdays. And some please have the minute to usher on Shabbos. Some please have the minute to matur on Shabbos. La'ani is daiti. I think that it is very hard for people nowadays to go the whole Avelos and not be invited, not to ever get together with someone for a meal. And therefore, and usually people don't invite people for a weekday meal so much anyway. That's not such a common thing. When was the last time you invited a couple for a Wednesday night dinner? Or were invited out? Maybe in America they have barbecues every Sunday, right? And on legal holidays. But at least here in Eretz Yisrael, we don't invite people for barbecues on Fridays. So the mice, I think on Shabbos we should be makel on this and assume that in our, unless you have a clear minig in your makom, if you don't have a clear minig in your makom, you can assume that our minig is to be makel to invite people for Shabbos meals and Shaila Shalom to Shabbos. And I really think an avel can be makel to invite someone over for a Shabbos, not a big party. I'm not talking about a party. Just my leaves on my husband to invite someone or to be invited to go out for a meal and to invite another family for a meal on Shabbos. I think if the Taz equates it to Shalach Manos. Or to Shaila Shalom, we can be Mekel on Shabbos Kachmira.
I don't know if it's just Marius, but it's
a Shabbos Tarmitzvah.
It's more like.
No, so I guess what I'm trying to be Medayik from this Taz is that just inviting is not necessarily Sudas Marius. Sudas Marius is a party. That I wasn't so clear. There's an Isser called Sudas Marius. What I want to Medayik from this Taz, I mean, it's not me, it's the Gesher Chaim Pasim this way. I don't mean to say I invented it. He said, no, Sudas Marius is a party. Inviting a couple to your house, that's not a party. Being invited out for a Shabbos lunch, that's not a party. A party is a bar mitzvah, a kiddush, that's a party. And we'll have to get to those halachas when we get to it. But this is not a party. This is just an invite. Everyone knows the difference between an invite and a party. It's a little funny. What's a suda? You know, there's suda and there's suda. It's not a, clearly not a party. If I invite the Schwartzes or the Greenbergs for a Shabbos lunch, no one thinks we're having a party. And if I go to the Greenbergs or the Schwartzes for Shabbos lunch, no one thinks we're having a party. So a party is more chomer. But if you're just inviting, that's not a party. That's merely the level of Shalach Manos. And if it's merely the level of Shalach Manos, then one can be Mekel. It depends on the minute, but I think we can be Mekel on Shabbos. And that's exactly the psak of the Gesher Chaim.
But also, I mean, like, I guess, maybe it's the interplay between the two.
mean, I know that's always a clue.
Right, so where do you draw the line? Then the question becomes, where do you draw the line between a party and an invitation? After all, you know, if someone invites 12 couples, that's a party. That's not an invitation. So where do you draw the line? So some people say you can invite one if there are two couples, including the host. That's a meal. If there are three couples, that's a party. I'm not so convinced. I think even three couples can be a meal, and, you know, you can use your common sense in these things. And maybe it depends on the circumstances. You know, if a guy has one couple and 12 yeshiva guys, that's still not a party. That's a meal. You have to use your common sense in these things. That's kach. This is the psak of the Gesher Chaim, and I really think it's too hard for people to be machmir. Someone's father died for a year. They're never going to eat a Shabbos meal with anyone else. They mamish. Maybe it's good, but they mamish feel like they're in chirim for a year, and that's maybe they're supposed. Some you might say they're supposed to, and I think that's and it's very hard for people. And alach the Rebbe Kabavel, and the Gesher Chaim is mikol.
It's inscribed. Is there a difference between when the meal is and when the invitation is given?
No. Depends on the meal, not the invitation. Okay, thank you. Even though I hear you're digging the lashon, but I don't think that's accurate. Simon. By the way, just a raya, that if you're not sure what the minig is, there's room to be makel on Shabbos. The Shach quotes the exact case of the Rishambi, that Rav Oshir Rabba went to a certain place and saw Velim, and he said, I don't know what your minhag is, but Shalom Aleichem like my minhag. So we see that... he didn't know what their minhag was. And he said, Shalom Aleichem, like my minhag. So maybe he thought, because he was bound by his minhag, it's a little funny, you're not supposed to deviate from... We see that if there's a suffix in minhag, there's room to be makel. Shin Pei Vav. Very short simon for us. Atifas HaRosh. Avol Chayiv Atifas HaRosh. Now, Furish Gemara. There is no doubt. Al Pi, the halacha of Chazal, that an Avil has to Atifas HaRosh, he has to wrap his head. The Hainu, what is Atifas HaRosh? Yichas HaRosh B'talos HaBasudar. You put your talus, he doesn't necessarily mean... ritual garment worn in synagogue. Talus, he just means cloak, right? Which they didn't used to have a ritual talus. It was just their cloak. Or your kerchief, right? Suder means, some people think it means a handkerchief. Handkerchief is a handkerchief, the kind of kerchief. It really just means a kerchief. So you take your kerchief or your cloak and you cover your head. You should put some of it on your mouth and the top of your nose. This is what's called atifas yishme'elim. Unlike the Gemara says, atifas yishme'elim is until... Seems to be until like here. Unlike some people, and I've seen this in like one or two modern Svarim, but not in any actual Achronim, who think, right, there's a Chumrah, L'chachila, I think we all do this Chumrah, L'chachila, that you should do Atifas Yishma'elim with your talus in the morning when you say L'satif B'tzitzis. It's not Ma'akif, it's not Me'ikar, damn it, that's a Chumrah, L'chachila. So it says it's supposed to go till like your nose, right? So some people what they do is they put over their heads and they go down and cover their eyes and their nose and like it covers here. That's not Atifas Yishma'elim. Atifas Yishma'elim is not until here from the top. It's until here from the bottom. You put it on, and then you wrap it around, and you cover, like it says here, the mouth and the bottom of the nose. You can imagine, if you're Yishma'eli going through the desert on a camel, you wouldn't want to be misatif like this. It would be a very strange way to travel. Even if you're not on a camel, right? Like, how would you see? You know, the Yishma'elim were not bats. But it would make a lot of sense. I mean, probably if you go, I don't know, Google search pictures, man riding on camel. I bet you'll see, from the old days, a guy who has like his kafiyah around his head, and then he has like a scarf covering like this, so that nothing gets into his mouth and his nose, and he can see where he's going. Okay, what if something gets into his eyes? You have to see where you're going. What can you do? Take your chances. Lamaisa, that's Atifas Yishma'elim. And Atifas Yishma'elim is a chumrah for talus. Why? Because the Gemara says about an ofel. So some people think maybe if for talus also he says list atif. But it's an ikra din for Avalon. Avalon has to be misaktiv katifas yishma'elim. And that was apparently the way Avalon were in the old days. Okay, v'hani milish tar katif b'kol ayom. That's only all day long. But when the people come to visit you, then out of kavod for them, you undo your atifa because otherwise you would be insulting like you're not relating to them. Okay, that's the ikra din of atifas yishma'elim. However, yish omrim, you don't have this minhag. That's the widespread minhag. And don't be machmer and change something for our ancestors' minhagim. Why is he so worried? Because what's the reason that we don't do atifa l'shishme'ilam? Well, we're not sure, but the Shach quotes from the Balei Tosos that that the reason that we stop doing this is because the Goyim laugh at us, and that ruins the Avelus. Because we're among Goyim, and even if we don't live among Goyim, there are Goyish maids in the house and servants, and therefore they'll laugh at us and it'll ruin the Avelus. Okay, it's a little funny, like, how about the fact that nowadays maybe that's not any strange thing we always do in the eyes of the Goyim, and maybe we don't have Goyim who will laugh at us. I don't know, do we all have Goyish maids nowadays? Maybe it depends where you live.
I'm like sitting on the floor for 7 days.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, it's a little unclear whether that's really a good reason, whether that was ever a good reason. You know, after all, I mean, we'll tell them not to laugh at us. They're Vadim Shvachos, they should listen to their boss. Right? You tell them not to laugh. Besides the fact, isn't it impolite to laugh at someone that's sitting Shiva? Like, you know, the Goyim don't have Torah, but they have common sense. So, very unclear if there's ever a good reason, very unclear if it's still a good reason, therefore the Rambam knows you're going to say it's not a good reason. He says, nonetheless, we keep our Minhagim, we respect our Minhagim, even if they're against the Gemara. And nowadays, there's a bit of a machlokas what our Minhag is. If you look at the Shach and the Taz here, they both say, our Minhag is still to do a little Atifa, not Atifa Shishma'ilim. We don't put cloaks or kerchiefs on our heads, but a little Atifa, we wear hats all the time. And you pull your hat down a little more, and it covers a little of your eyes. And you still do a little atifa. Okay, says the Gesher Chaim, nowadays we don't do any atifa. And all the modern-based books say nowadays we don't really do any atifa. I paid shiva calls to some Talmidim at the Rav. Apparently the Rav told the Talmidim to be makir like the Shach and Taz, and they all wore hats and put them down a little. One guy, he was very modern. He didn't own a black hat, so he just wore a baseball cap and pulled it down. Because he was at the Talmud of the Rav, he just didn't have a black hat. There are those who are not, whose practice that way, but that's not the Minhag Yisrael. Minhag Yisrael is not to do Atifa Sarosh at all during Avelos. Okay, why don't we do Atifa Sarosh during Avelos? Maybe for the reason the Goyim will laugh at us, even though that's a weak reason. If you want to, maybe you could be Mechadesh that... That fundamentally, the Isur Avelos, you know, the Rav had this famous vort. The Rav had a famous vort that the Iker Kiyum of Avelos is a Kiyum belief. Avelos is not really about, the Rav says there are no Isurim. Well, he said different vorts at different times. But the vort in the Rambam, at least, was that the Avelos, not really that's usher to do certain things or chayiv to do certain masim, the Iker Avelos is a Kiyum belief. And you express the Kiyum B'Leiv through the ways that Chazal were Koveya or Darshan from the Psukim, etc. Maybe you could say, even though I haven't seen this in the Achronim, that if fundamentally Avelos is not like, it's not like Kudshim, where you know you have Shchit and Kabbalah and Olach and Zrika and then Kronos and Lamala and Lamata, and why do we do them? Because in the Torah it says to do exactly this action, no more and no less. It's not like Tilos Lulav. That the Torah said, this is exactly what a lulav is, and you have to pick it up, no more, no less. If avelus is fundamentally about a kiyum b'leiv, it's a certain experience, or even, like Rashi said in Morning Seder, here in Daf Chav Hey, it's about showing cover to the mace, then maybe you could say that avelus is different from all other areas of halacha, all other areas of halacha, the mace is ikar. In avelus, no, it's the atmosphere, it's the emotions that are being expressed, and the message being given that's ikar. In which case, it can make a lot of sense that maybe the Iker is to do things that are ways of showing Avelos that resonate in your time and place. And therefore, if something really no longer makes sense, it's just a joke in your time and place, sitting on the floor, okay, sitting on the floor still looks sad. But wrapping your head funny, that just looks like you're putting on a play. Looks like you're, I don't know, dressing in a weird costume. So it could be that Avelos is more flexible than other areas of Halacha. I mean, we see. Half of Avelos are Minhagim, we have the word in the Gemara, half of Avelos things that are in the Gemara that we don't do anymore. It's a little funny. I've never seen any area of Halacha where we don't do as many things in the Gemara as Avelos. So you could say, if it's really about the Kiyum B'Leiv or expressing a certain kavod, then the Masim maybe were not meant to be Bedavka. The Maisim were meant to be, these are exactly the Maisim that express this in our time and place, but maybe there's a little flexibility, and maybe that would explain our strange Minhagim, but I don't know. I want to ask Rav Lichtenstein if he thought this was pshat. And he said, maybe. And I wasn't sure if he actually meant maybe, 50-50 is a good idea, or, it's not impossible, but it's one of the stupid ideas he's heard this week. So, unlike the famous Rav Schechter joke, I didn't follow up by asking him. I don't know. Not sure what that maybe is worth.
What's the goal
of Atifa Shmeim?
Was it COVID roach? Was it so that we don't get distracted? Like, by a diet, right? Diets supposed to have Atifa
Shmeim. But not Atifa Shmeim.
No, I'm asking. So, does it have a modern-day application?
It seems like Atifa Shmeim seems to be
maybe
withdrawing, right? I mean, I'm withdrawing from society, right? Not relating to people.
So there's no, like, modern-day corollary of, like, for example, it was about dignification.
So that's, I can't think of one.
Right.
It would be interesting, because in the next one, we'll see. Let's go to Shin Pei Zayin, Kfiyas Amita. Avel Chai, there are two simanim in a row that we don't do. Avel Chai, Bekfiyas Amita. Avel has to turn his bed upside down. How do you turn the bed upside down? If you have I don't think the gross beds, but like a yeshiva bed is very posh, right? It has four legs, and then on top of those four legs, it has a frame, and on top of that frame is a mattress. If you turn it up, the legs are on the ground, and the frame is high up. Not high up, but like 2 feet up, whatever it is. If you turn it upside down, the frame will be on the ground, then put the mattress down on it, and the legs will be sticking in the air. That's an upside down bed. That's a simple bed. Their days, most of their beds were simple, and you turn it over. Uvashashen of Achila Yoshev Al Mita Kfuya, and at the time of eating and sleeping, you sit, or sleep, obviously, on the upside down bed. But all day long, you don't even sit on an upside down bed, you sit on the ground. This is based on a Gemara in Cotton, that's not an art printed Gemaras. And it's not even an old Rishonim. The next line is older than old Rishonim. The Menachemim have to sit on the ground. People who pay a Sheva call have to sit on the ground. Why don't they sit on the ground nowadays? So the Rishonim write that, this is out of cover for the Ovel. If the Ovel's Mochel, they're not Mishabel, they're just trying to respect the Ovel. If he's Mochel, they don't have to. And nowadays, everyone's Mochel. Okay, so the Menachemim, we understand why they're Potter nowadays, because they're not Mishabelim. They're just helping the Ovel feel better by sitting on the ground with him like Yov's friends did. And since nowadays the Ovels don't want them to, they don't have to. The Ovel, that's in, not in our printed Gemaras, Chena Menachemim, it's in all the Rishonim. The first line, the Ovel sits on the ground. Maybe it's obvious that the Menachem sits on the ground. He sits on the ground. But it's not in our printed Gemaras, not in most of Rishonim. Only minority Rishonim have that Girsa. Okay, so before we come back to it, let's deal with this now. So what do we see here? Here there was a big machlokus. Whether it's enough to turn over the bed, or you actually have to, this is the machlokus in the Rush and the Rambam, is it enough to overturn the bed, or you actually have to sit and sleep on the overturned bed? Right? In the Beis Yosef, you quoted, the Rambam says, and this seems to be what's quoted here, here he quotes from the Ramban, okay. The Rambam says you actually have to use the overturned bed, and the Rush says, no, you just have to overturn the bed, you don't have to use it. Here, the Mechaber seems to assume that you have to actually use the overturned bed. It's not enough to just overturn it. You don't have to use the overturned bed all the time, just for the main bed uses. What are the main bed uses? They would eat on a bed, remember, Haseiva on a bed, and they would sleep on a bed. Okay. How about the rest of the day? The rest of the day says, no, you have to sit davka on the ground and not on the overturned bed, because it's a special din, like we learned the Pasukin Eov says, he sat on the ground when he was Misabel, that you have to sit on the ground. Okay, in the Beis Yosef, all these halachos, what beds you overturn, what beds you don't. Before we let's just read Beis. Actually, we'll not go with Kfiyas Amita, and they should yomer overcome Shumach Shefels. Nowadays, we don't have the minig of Kfiyas Amita either. Why? It's interesting, the sort of two things in Avelos, which are thou shalt instead of thou shalt not, we don't do nowadays. Why don't we have this minhag? So, two reasons. One, the Goyim might think we're casting spells on them, and then they'll make a pogrom and kill us, so it's dangerous. Okay, once upon a time, I'm not familiar with witchcraft, but I know that, right, there's Salem witch trials. They killed people for much less than overturning beds. You don't want to do anything that looks suspicious. I totally understand that. Obviously, that's not so relevant nowadays. The Ode, our beds don't look like their beds, and it's not noticeable if you overturn them. Why? Because in the days of the Bali Tosos, they had beds where, like canopy beds, the legs didn't just go down from the frame. They also went up from the frame. So if the legs go down and up from the frame, if you turn it upside down, it looks exactly the same. The legs are still going down and up from the frame. There is no way to turn it upside down and have the frame be on the floor, because the legs go up and down. In which case, there's no point turning it over, so you might as well not do it. Here also, it's one of those funny things that it says Rabbi Akiva Eiger here, Agav, he says, but you should still overturn the blankets and pillows. Okay, pillows and the mattress, etc. By us, that for sure doesn't mean anything. If we turn over a mattress, it's the exact same thing. As a matter of fact, they say you're supposed to turn over your mattress every once in a while. If you turn over pillows, then you can't tell the difference. All right, so forget that. Lemaisa, though, why don't we turn over our beds? If you say the guy might think we're casting magic spells, maybe not in any country that I've ever lived in. Like in America, the guy are not going to think we're casting magic spells. They're just, it's the 21st century. They might think a lot of other things about it. There might be people who think the Jews control the banks and the media. But no one thinks the Jews are casting magic spells, because no one believes in magic anymore. And if you say we can't turn over our beds, a lot of our beds we can turn over. Some beds we can, some beds we can't, but a lot of the beds we have nowadays, Yutaka could turn over. I mean, there's all different kinds of beds, but I know my house, we have a lot of beds that are just like the Gemara's beds. Let's say you sleep on a top high riser. That's just like you turn it over and be just like in the days of the Gemara. And a lot of other beds are like that. So it's not 100% clear why we don't do this nowadays. Again, maybe it is just because once it became like culturally meaningless to do this and weird to do this, it wouldn't have the desired effect. Maybe it wasn't chal anymore. The Rav has a chiddush, which I saw actually quoted from the earlier Acharonim as well. But the Rav has a famous chiddush. They say there's one minig we have nowadays in a shiva house, which is not found in any of the Rishonim or Acharonim. What's that? Very serious minig in a shiva house. Mirrors. We cover all the mirrors, right? Everyone knows you cover the mirrors. Every Jew, even a Reformed conservative, everyone knows you cover the mirrors in a shiva house. Why do we cover the mirrors in a shiva house? No one knows why we cover the mirrors in a shiva house. Said the Rav, he said, you have to go to the Gemara. Even if you don't go to the Gemara, it's in the... it's quoted in the Torah here. Says the Torah, the very first line, Kfiyas HaMita is not for Tsar. It's not Tsar to be Kofa the Mita. Rather, the reason we do Kfiyas HaMita is because of the drush of the Gemara. The Gemara says... It's a very complicated drasha. We're not going to be able to properly philosophically understand it. Demos Dyukni, Hashem says, I put my image in you, right? Man is created. B'tzelem Elokim. And with your Averos, you overturned it. Somehow now, even though, it's funny. Like, we don't usually go to Shiva house and say, oh, it's because of your Averos that this person died. But on some level, all... We are created with Tzelem Elokim. Everything with Tzelem Elokim should be eternal and should be perfect, etc. And it's only our B'shiru Chavshis of doing Averos that overturned that plan and therefore overturned the Tzelem Elokim and makes death enter the world. And therefore, you should overturn your beds. Okay, why exactly overturn the beds is not 100% clear. It could just be because beds are convenient things to overturn. It could be maybe because if the bed is a makom of Puru Ravu, which is a creation of Tzelem Elokim, therefore that's something symbolic to overturn, being the opposite of Misa. So says the Rav, if Tfiyas HaMita is about overturning the Demus Yukni, the image, then nowadays we don't do Tfiyas HaMita, but that's why we cover the mirrors. Covering the mirrors means to not look at the image of the person, of the Demus Yukno. Right? And therefore, we also show that we have overturned this image through Averus that brought death into the world, and therefore, we must cover up the image, cover up the mirrors, so we don't see the image, the Tzelem Elokim in ourselves, in the Shiva house. Okay, maybe that's the explanation, maybe it isn't. But the Rav says that's how we express Kfiyas HaMita nowadays. In any case, it's a minhag. It's a very strong minhag. The Rav was just trying to give an explanation for it. And I think I saw once, I don't remember where, that I found this in a sefer from before the time of the Rav as well. But I'm sure I did. I just don't remember where. But there's a famous part of the Rav. So what does this mean, bottom line, for us? We don't do Kfiyas HaMita. One way or the other, we don't do Kfiyas Hamita. So how does an Ovel sit? And how does an Ovel sleep? So how does an Ovel sit? It says right here. It says, forget it, Kfiyas Hamita. There's a different din having nothing to do with the Mita that the Ovel sits on the ground, which the Gemara and some Yersos Darshans from the Pesukim and Eov. So therefore, the Ovel has to sit on the floor. And that's what we do. The Ovel sits on the floor, more or less. However, says the Shach and the Taz here. Mikamakom also Elisha gave Safsol Okar Miksasam reading the Shach Kiyam Al Gavik Harka and Lo Chol Vazakin Shishim Tzar Mishim Al Gavik Harka Lo Hazim Karka Kaltam Mitachtav. A chol and a zakin, it's hard to sit on the floor, is allowed to put a little cushion underneath him. Okay, so it sounds like you sit on the floor, unless someone's a chol or a zakin, then they should sit on a pillow on the floor. That is definitely not our minhag. The Gesher Chaim quotes from the Aruch HaShulchan that our minhag during Shiva is, I've seen some people in Shiva sit on the floor, or sit on a cushion on the floor, but there's a common minhag in Shiva to sit on either a cushion or a low chair, right? All the shuls have Shiva chairs. So that's totally against what it says here. It says here the floor. The floor means the floor. How do we know? Because the Shach and Taz say if you're sick or aged, you can put a pillow. Meaning, if you're young and healthy, then you should sit on the floor, pshuto kamashmo. However, the Aruch HaShulchan points out that there's Mefurish Yerushalmi against this. The Yerushalmi darshans the Pesukim Eov a little differently, and it says he sat to the ground. To the ground, but not on the ground. That means he sat near the ground, which means he sat on something low. Clearly, he didn't sit on a regular chair. That would not be near the ground at all, but he didn't mamash on the ground. He sat on something low. The Yerushalmi darshans that Davka, the Indian, is sitting on something low, not on the ground specifically, and says the Aruch HaShulchan, therefore that justifies our minhag. Our minhag, they sit on chairs that are less than 3 tefachim, or on boxes, or on pillows, or things that are less than 3 tefachim, even though it's against everything on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, has a Yerushalmi behind it, and it could be that our minhag is like the Yerushalmi, unlike the Mechaber and the Shach and the Taz, and therefore it's okay that we keep our minhag nowadays. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's okay. The Gesher Chaim says it's okay. The Gesher Chaim says that's our minhag. Our minhag is different. And you can sit on, someone can sit on a low chair or a pillow or a cushion. They don't have to sit mamish on the floor. Even I've been to houses where they don't have Shiva chairs. I've been to some Shivas where they didn't have Shiva chairs. I don't know why. I don't know if it was for practical reasons or for halachic reasons. But they still sat on pillows or, you know, or once they sat on Israeli mattresses, which are much less than pillows. On some sort of thin cushion. I don't know if I've ever seen someone sit mamish on the floor without anything. Okay, because our minhag is like the Gesher Chaim and the Aruch HaShulchan to sit on something low.
Is there a reason not to have maybe like those like little leather chairs? Like at least it's very common in America.
Yeah, like, and Israel also.
And is that anti like the purpose? Like the Rambam with going barefoot like a kippur. Is there like a din in like being uncomfortable, or is it just being low?
I think the din is to be. It might be low, not uncomfortable. Anyway, Lamaisa, I don't know. Like I have been to Shiva houses where people have sat on a thin cushion instead of a Shiva chair, but I'm never sure. It was, you know, not always the right time and place to ask exactly what lied behind it. But I've been to also to Shiva houses of, you know, chashev families where they've sat on Shiva chairs. So it seems to me the minhag olam sit on the Shiva chairs, and one does not have to be more machmir. Especially the Gesher HaChaim. His lashon is not like, if you look at the lashon of the Gesher HaChaim here, I don't have the Aruch HaShulchan here, but if you look at the lashon of the Gesher HaChaim, if I wrote the right page, yeah. Ulam haminhag kehayom, see the shach, etc. Right? Ulam haminah kehayom lahakel l'shevus al gebikisei namakol gabikar v'adomo or aruch hashulchan every rayin mefuresh lahakel mayor shalmi. Okay, so it doesn't sound like the minig is like leave the amaratz. Is that the minig is being made only on the shulchan brought a raya? So I think the minig of shiva chairs is one doesn't have to mess with it even l'chachila. Everyone can sit however they want, but even though it would seem from this page like the minig of shiva chairs is terrible. And not only that, the Poskim say that nowadays that people are more are in worse shape than they were in the old days. If someone's really not well, they can even sit on a regular chair. You know, if someone's old, etc. You know, you take an old person, you put them on the Shiva chair less than 3 tefachim, you'll kill them. not literally, but it all depends. You know, or someone who's not in bad shape, etc. Somebody, yeah, someone passed away. They're 90 years old, and they have a 92-year-old sibling. The odds are the 92-year-old sibling is going to be hurt if they sit on, or at the very least, in a lot of pain if they sit on a low chair. So everyone knows they sit on a regular chair. Okay, so that's our minhag is a little more makel than the shach. Everyone sits on something low, and the people who are in really bad shape, depends. Halavai, everyone should be 90 and should be in good shape. People who are not in such great health even sit on a regular chair. How about sleeping? How about sleeping? And says the Shach and Taz here, another chumrah, or another. He says, Kishirotza lishen tzarech lishen al gabi karka. Says the Shach and Taz three things. We'll say three things. The menachem will be to wherever they want to for mochel. And for them, the chila helps, because they're not in avelas. The oval should sit on the floor, dafta, and where more make will sit on a chair. And the oval should sleep on the ground. Just like you should sit on the ground, you should sleep on the ground. We don't do kriyas amita. If we don't do kriyas amita, you should sleep on the ground. That's what the Taz also says. Well, if we did kriyas amita, he would sleep on the upside down bed. But nowadays, since we don't do kriyas amita, he should sleep on the ground. But if you look at the Pesach Tshuva, Sif, Kut, and Beis, and he says, but look at the Tshuvas of the Panim Eros, who disagrees. What do the Panim Eros say? He says, look in the Torah here. He really says, look in the Rishonim. And he says that it says mefurish that the Torah says mefurish, even if you sleep very comfortably on an upside down bed, let's say you turn your bed upside down and put three really great expensive mattresses and it's really comfortable, that's fine. The anchor is just turning it over. So it's mefurish in the Torah. You don't need tzara for sleeping. You don't need to sleep in a tzara way. And therefore, it says the Panim Eros, he disagrees with the Shach and Taz. Here, the Shulchan Aruch didn't say anything. He never said how you sleep when there's no kfiyas hamita. You could have gone 2 ways. You could have said there's no kfiyas hamita, sleep however you want. Or you could have said, no, there's no kfiyas hamita, you have to sleep on the floor, because it's like sitting on the floor. The Shach and Taz says, on the floor. The Panim Eros says, no, if there's no kfiyas hamita, you could sleep however you like. The Minhag nowadays, passing the Gesher, says the Gilyon Marsha, also like this Panim Eros. Says the Gilyon Marsha, Ayin Chuvas Panim Eros, the Hello de Eila Hachmer Bekach. And the Gesher Chaim says the minhag is like the Panim Eros. So nowadays, the minhag is that the Avelim sleep in a regular bed, because they assume that, for sitting, there's a din of sitting on the floor. That's in some years also the Gemara learned from Eov. But for beds, there's an Ikfias Hamita. But if you're not going to turn your bed upside down, there is no special restriction on sleeping. We pass like the Panim Eros, according to the Pesach Tshuva and Gilyon Marsha, against the Shach and the Taz here. That is the Halacha L'maisa. Okay, Rabbi Kivik Yeager says something about turning over bedspreads, but that doesn't apply nowadays because he must have had different kinds of mattresses and pillows. Shin Pei Tes. Or no, Shin Pei Ches. What am I saying? Avil B'yom Rishon Asul L'Niach Tefillin. Okay, we all learned Masechah Sukkah this year, so we're all experts on this Halacha. Avil, so we're not going to repeat the lundus from Morning Seder. Avil also on the tefillin b'yom rishon. The avil is not allowed to wear tefillin on the first day. V'acher shahanetz acham of yom beis mutar l'nicham. But after sunrise on the second day, it is mutter. So here first we get into a fundamental machlokes haposkim. If I recall correctly, there are three opinions about when the Avel can wear tefillin on the second day. The Torah quotes in Moikatan, there's a machlokas. Rabbi Yoshua Paskin, like Rabbi Yoshua, who says it's also for 2 days, but mitzvah yom kikulo. So, there are three opinions here. One opinion is the Yesh Omrim. The Yesh Omrim says Mitzvah Yom Kekula. Everyone knows when is Mitzvah Yom Kekula on the seventh day. When do we count as Mitzvah Hayom? After the Menachem and get up. So therefore, on the second day, he can only run tefillin after the Menachem and get up, which means he can't wear tefillin for Shacharis, because then the Menachem will come, they daven Shacharis, and then they get up. Okay, everyone rejects that. The Rif and the Ramban and the Rush say, no, Mitzvah Yom Kekula means sunrise. After sunrise, he's Mitzvah Yom Kekula, he can wear tefillin on the seventh day. And that is the psak of the of the here the Yesh Omrim, Aser Mitzas Yom Sheni Ad Sheyamdu Menachemim. Then there is the Rush and the Ramban who say Aser Mitzas Yom Beis, because those are the only two opinions. In Makkah, there are two opinions. Rabbi Lezer says Aser even the third day. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, only Aser Mitzas the second day. And we by Makkah only Mitzas the second day. Shkai. I mean, the most Makkah opinion makes the second day. And then they say, what's the most Makkah Mitzas? Ad Hanetz Hakama. However, the Bach is a more Makkah. The Bach says that the Rambam says only Aser one day. Why does he say Aser one day? So everyone else says, that means Aser one day and Mitzas the second day. He says, no. Who learned Masechet Sukkah this year? What does it say in Sukkah Daf Chav Hey? What does Rav say? Tefillin is Aser for how long? One day, because of the Pasuk of? V'acharisa ki yomar. It's one day, not mixus of two, not mixus of three. Oh, that's against my cotton. Oh, that's about Chukas, and we don't pass like what it says in my cotton. We pass like what it says in Subas and Sukkah. So the Bach, now, depends. You could say Rav really meant one day and a little more. And the Rambam meant one day and a little more. But the Bach says, right, the Pshat of the Rambam and others is Aser Rak B'yom Rishon. And it's Mutar Yom Sheni, even before sunrise. How do we paskin? The Mechaber paskins Mitzas Yom Sheni sunrise, which means that the Avol shouldn't schedule his minion too early on the second day, right? The Avol, now it depends what season it is, right? But in Eretz Yisrael, it's never such a big deal. But in New York, that means that he can't daven at 7 o'clock on some weeks. And in London, he can't even daven at 8 o'clock on some weeks. You know, he has to daven after everyone's already at work. Because sunrise is very late in the winter, and I don't even know what I want to know what they have to do in Oslo and Stockholm and etc. The Bach, quoted in the Shach, right? What does the Shach say here? V'yesh poskim deinu asher al yom rishon beis meitzer miyad. V'kach pasuk ha-Bach. Sounds like the Shach endorses the Bach. How do we paskin on this machlokas? This could really be a halacha l'maisa. The Avil has a Shiva minion. He wants to fill in for the Shiva minion. And it has to start before sunrise. Again, in Eretz Yisrael, less likely, because I don't think the sun ever rises later than like 6:30 or something. But in other countries, very, very different. I remember in New York, the sun rose sometimes 7:20, 25, something like that. And other countries even much later. So, how do we paskin? Says the Gesher Chaim. This is the halacha lechatchila, but b'shas hadchak, you can be make a like the Bach and the Shach. Therefore, b'shas hadchak, the Avol can even put on tefillin before sunrise on the second day. Although lechatchila, he shouldn't put on tefillin until after sunrise. Okay. Let's continue a little. The Gemara also has a machlokes between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer about panim chadashos. Right? Remember, there's panim chadashos v'asher brachos. There's a lot of parallels. I mean, it makes sense to be parallels. They're just part of two opposite parts of the life cycle. What if there are panim chadashos? So Rabbi Yoshua says you have to take off your tefillin if panim chadashos come. And Rabbi Lev says, no. You can leave on your tefillin if there are panim chadashos. That's what we pass. That's why the Mechaber didn't say anything. One funny thing, though, is that everyone admits you can't put on tefillin if there are panim chadashos. You can keep your tefillin on, but the Avol can't put them on. So, Rabbi Kiva Eger here, quoting a Magen Avraham from Or Chaim Siman Lamed Ches, which this is also an Or Chaim Siman Lamed Ches, and Hilchos Tefillin comes up once, and Hilchos Aveilos comes up once. Makes sense. Hilchos Tefillin says the Avol doesn't wear tefillin. You have a sif about this. And in Hilchos Aveilos, you have two sifim about this. The Avol doesn't wear tefillin. So, the Rabbi Kiva Eger here, he quotes a number of things here, but one of them he says is, in the middle of the long one, he says, I am Magen Avraham, the Yom Sheni, and Bo Panim Chadashos, Einu Meiniach. You can't put on tefillin if there are Panim Chadashos. And he thinks, the Mordechai says, but on the third day you can. He thinks even on the third day. Right? So the Mordechai says, and the Magen Avraham seems to, well, the Magen Avraham says on the second day you can't. Right? Kiva Eger thinks even on the third or fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh day he can't. The Bavei Shulchan says, it's funny, He doesn't see people being makbid on this, and he's not sure why. Now, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch, but he's not sure why either. There's like a Gemara, don't put on tefillin when panim chadash are there. So it's not clear why we're not makbid. The best thing to do is the Ovel should put on his tefillin early, before people come. And then he'll put them on before the panim chadash come. And what if the panim chadash come? L'chora, let the Ovel at least go to another room and put on tefillin, even though not so clear, but it's better than nothing. Not in front of the panim chadash at least. It's a tzarech iyun, why we're not makbid on panim chadashos. And the proper thing is the Ovel should put on his tefillin early, before any panim chadashos come over. Usually that's not so hard. Like, some of his family members might be there, but they're not panim chadashos. A panim chadashos usually shows up for a shachris. There's always one guy who missed the levaya, missed the shiva, etc., and just comes for a shachris. So the Ovel puts on his tefillin early, and then he's yotze v'esmugin Avraham and Rabbi Akiva Eger. The Mishnah Berurah also sounds like, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, let me read you a Mishnah Berurah. Simen Lamed Ches, Se'if Katan Chaf, if I wrote it down properly, says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Shulchan Aruch there, says the Mishnah Berurah, sorry, he says, "Mash with the mechaber that he's meinich there parm chadashes. Avol ha'achronim maski de'ein lanicham neinich with neim tefillin ad sheyelchu lahem ela de'ein cholitz meinich kodesh shemorchan chadashos." The Shabura says that the achronim concluded that he should not put on tefillin if there are panim chadashos. Okay, so it's not so clear, but it's better for the avol to be machir to put on the tefillin early so that he won't be putting them on in front of panim chadashos. Although the minhag olam seems to be makel.
Like, it's not to have seen panim, like, is he able to go into a different room once they come?
So it's not clear. That's what I said. Maybe it's better to go into a different room. It's not clear. Like, is it that they watch him put on the tefillin, or they know that he wasn't wearing tefillin and then he is? Like, right. It's not clear to me that going into a different room really helps. So that's best thing to be able to put on tefillin early, but the minhag olam is not to worry about this, even though it seems like a chiddush.
Maybe.
All right. Good explanation. I know that Bani Shulchan just said Tzarech Iyun, if I recall correctly. Well, I even brought him. But I like that explanation. Okay. I'll read you Bani Shulchan. And maybe when they... Maybe you say it's only when they used to wear tefillin all day.
That's
where
it would have come up.
Yeah. I hear the Taina. What does he say here? He says, V'nei davar zeh I feel it be Yom-Sheni. Forget about all seven. V'tzarchiyun. Okay, L'maisa, people are Mekel, but the most proper practice would be let the Ovel put on tefillin early and get out of this suffix. Here's the big machlokas. First of all, what's Yom Rishon? So there's, what about Shmur Krova and Shmur Rechoka? So, Shmur Krova means within 30 days, Shmur Rechoka means after 30 days. So what about if there's no burial? He wasn't at the burial. Shmuel Krova, Shmuel Rechoka, says the Shachan Taz, quoting all of the Rishonim and early Achronim, says Shachan Taz, Shmuel Krova, also the first day he can't wear tefillin. Now, which means that if he hears the Shmuel Krova at lunch, he already wore his tefillin, there's no nafkamina, but if he hears the Shmuel Krova first thing in the morning, then he's not an Oni. He heard the Shmuel Krova, his father died 2 weeks ago and was buried already. He heard the Shmuel Krova. If he heard the Shmuel Krova first thing when he wakes up in the morning, which is not a crazy scenario because often someone will only get a message when he wakes up in the morning, or if he hears the Shmuel Krova at night, right? Then he doesn't put on tefillin the next day. He sits shiva and doesn't put on tefillin. So in Shmuel Krova, there's an Isser tefillin. How about Shmuel Rechoka? Shmuel Rechoka, how long is the shiva for Shmuel Rechoka? Chesky?
How long is the
shiva? Does a person sit shiva for Shmuel Rechoka?
Just that day.
Just that day? How long of that day? Mixim Kekula, only for 1 minute. Say the Achronim, the Mishnah Berurah says it in Sif Lamed Ches, Sif Katan Tezayin, for Shmur Rechoka, there's no Isser Tefillin, even for 1 minute. Like, basically for 1 minute, he'd take his shoes off and sit on the floor and keep his tefillin on, if he was wearing tefillin. The Isser, so Shmur Rechoka, so we're talking about the Isser Tefillin, Shmur Rechoka, Shmur Krova, Aser, Biyom Zeh, Biyom Shmur, Shmur Rechoka, Mutter Legamri. The Isser Tefillin doesn't apply to Shmur Rechoka. Fine. Now, Here's the big controversy. I think almost have people fight about this. Actually, they don't fight. This is not worth fighting over, but they argue about it in Din. Is the Sifkutin Aleph the Pesach Tshuva and everyone else. What if, like we always do in Chutz La'aretz and sometimes in Eretz Yisrael, the burial is not on the day of death? Right? In Eretz Yisrael, often it's on the same day. Right? Someone dies in Eretz Yisrael, the usual midhag. Someone dies 10 a.m. Friday morning, Shabbos comes in at 7, they have a levaya at 4 p.m. Friday. Right? I've been to levayas where Shabbos came in at 7, the levaya is at 6 p.m. too. I think not closer than that. But whatever the case is, right? So, if it's the same day, Tamech, what if the Yom Kippur is not the Yom Misa? The Avol died, the Mace died on Sunday, and the levaya is on Monday. Or the Mace died on Thursday, and the levaya is on Sunday. So does that still count as Yom Rishon for the Isser Tfilin? On the one hand, it's the first day of Shiva. On the other hand, it's not the first day of the Merirus. Right? Because the Mace died 3 days ago. But on the other hand, he's just being Mis'abal now. So this is a tremendous machlokas. Yom Kvura She'eno Yom Misa. Tremendous machlokas, what to do. If you look in the Pesach Tshuva, he says, the Maritatz writes that only if the Yom Misa is the Yom Kippur. And we know, I didn't mention this, we didn't get this yet. You know the sheet of the Rambam, that Avelus Doraisa? According to the Rambam, when is Avelus Doraisa? Only if the Kippur is the same day as the Misa, that day is Doraisa. Right? So maybe it's only that, that's the real day, which the Rambam holds as Doraisa. And even other people might say special. Okay, what if it's the Mace died yesterday, and the Levaya is today. This happened to me once. I once went to a Levaya, and someone flew in from America to bury their father, mother, in Beit Shemesh. And it was a late afternoon, right after the funeral of the man in minyan for Mincha. The fellow, the Avil, comes over to me and says, "Oh, you're a rabbi. Should I wear my tefillin or not?" Because he didn't wear tefillin until then, because he was an Oni. Good question, right? Should he wear his tefillin or not? He brought them with. The Levaya, because he didn't know the halacha, so he wanted to be on the safe side. So that's the question. Says the Maritatz, Avol Shemisa Yom Acher, Rakfur Yom Acher, Chayev Tfilin Fil Yom Rishon Ayin Sham. Says Maritatz Chayev. There are two Achronim who say this: the Maritatz and the Chayodim. The Chayodim is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah. So Mutter or Chayev? Mutter Bitfilin, obviously, because Mutter is Chayev. That is the Maritatz and the Chayodim. However, continues the Pesach Halacha, the Pesach Tshuva rather, he says, I'm Dogomer Vava, Shivigang Vihisigalav, Vaim Shadzichu Yitzla, Shigazigalav, Vaba Mishnacham, Hizigalvas Maritatz, Hanal Ayin Sham. But who says, still Usser, the Dogomer Vava, that's the Nabi Yehuda, the Zichun Yitzla, the Mishnas Chachamim, not familiar with their biography, let's just say the Mishnas Chachamim, and a gazillion other Achronin, the Mishnah Berurah in Simon Lamed Ches of Katan Tes Zayin says, "Avol Aser Tefillin Yom Rishon Afilu BeYom Shenek Rosh Ha'Ena Yom Hamisa Kevin Shiyom Rishon LaAvelos." That's what the Shmur says. On the bottom, he says, "Taz Vil Yor Rabba VeDogel Mirvava in Yoredeya VeDerech HaChayim." That's Nesivas Chayin Hiskim Shari Tshuva DeLo Kamari Tatz VeChaye Adam. So Taz, Eliyahu Rabba, Dagomir Vavra we already had, Shari Tshuva, that's on Orachayim, and that's the Psak of the Mishnah Berurah, Simon Lamed Ches, Sifkat and Tez Zayin, and that is the mainstream halacha, is like that. Yes?
Just to clarify, Mutter means Chayim?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's not optional. Okay, yes.
Wouldn't the
Reitatz fit better with the Rambam? It's like coming, the Rambam is coming from Pasuk of Yomar. But if it's a really the 2 days, like why can't it be dependent on who are we using there? Well, because maybe the 2 days start from them, and it's already been mixed with Yom Kippur. Although, I hear the Taina. Anyway, Lemaisa, this gets more complicated, says the Gesher Achayim. Some people told me Minig Yerushalayim is to be choshesh for the Maritatz, and to put them on without a bracha. be choshed for the maritaski. After all, you don't want to skip a day of tefillin if you're really chayiv. And the Geshra Chaim says, I checked, I don't think there's any such minhag Yerushalayim. Says the Geshra Chaim, no, absolutely usur, no room to be machber and put on tefillin without a bracha, no such minhag. He says, I spoke to my young Iluyish colleague, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and he thinks you should put on tefillin without a bracha, but that's ridiculous, no chance. Okay, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa brings down also from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that, and this is the psak of the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, in the second volume. Obviously, in the first volume, he doesn't discuss these things. But in a footnote in the second volume, he brings down from Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and the Pnei Baruch also brings down from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that, I think the Geshra Chaim, oh, it doesn't matter, that no, minhag Yerushalayim is to put it on without a bracha in case the maritatz is correct. Rabbi Avadya also paskins that way, that's minhag Yerushalayim. Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa quotes Rosh Hashanah, he thinks anyone who's bedakti for mitzvos should be choshesh that maybe the chiv fill in and should put it on for 1 minute without a bracha. Not to daven the whole davening, and not in public, but sinna without a bracha. So, L'maisa says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach.
Why is it in the second volume, Shmir Shabbos?
What?
Why does it make sense to be in the second volume?
Because the second volume has all kinds of things that are not about halacha. And then gets into all kinds of tangents. Obviously, this has nothing to do with, but it gets into tangents.
But if you're kosher to maritatz, that means you can't do both.
No, no. If you're kosher to maritatz, that means you're doing an isser.
Right.
According to most achronim.
That doesn't mean you're kosher to maritatz. Uh-huh.
So, first of all, you have to ask for Shlomo Zalman. I mean, we don't have this right.
Fine,
I think right, so I think Pshat is, he says, look, Sacha kol, avelus drabanan, tefillin is doraisa, so then maybe it's better to be macher for doraisa, even if you're making one of the drabanan. But you're right, there's no such thing as being macher for all the shitas.
Right.
If you're macher for one shita, you violate an isser according to the other shita. Okay, I guess he just thinks like he's more afraid of tefillin than of avelus. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Avadya, they say that the minhag Eretz Yisrael is lehaniach Bitsina Bli Bracha Velachlots Miyad. He says, not to put it on for old davening, to put it on mamish for a minute. Just in case the maritatz is correct, even though that's the Das Yachid and the Geshra Chaim rejected it. Ad Hayom Azeh, and the Shlomo Shmir and Rishon Zalman says, even if you're not in Yerushalayim, he thinks it's a Kedai Chumra to do. So Ad Hayom Azeh, there are different opinions about this, and it's very hard, as Eli pointed out. There's no such thing as being machir. Every chumra is also a kula. I guess Rosh Hashanah was just more afraid of bittel tefillin than he was of isurei avelus. Apparently. Lemaisa, the standard minhag olam is not to wear tefillin. That is the standard minhag is not to wear tefillin. Like the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. This is the standard halacha. It is common among some people to be choshesh, that's Rosh Shlomo Zalman, and put it on for a minute for some B'nai Torah, to put it on for a minute without a bracha, just because they're more worried about tefillin, d'oraisa, than they are about avelos d'rabbanan, which I assume is the svara of Rosh Shlomo Zalman. So, okay, look, there's room to do Rosh Shlomo Zalman, but the standard halach is like the Mishnah Berurah.
Isn't that talking about svara? Like, what would the achronim say to that? Why isn't it a good
chesed
to say that?
These are chesed say it's not a... I mean, the other chesed say it's not a suffix. Right? The other chesed doesn't say I'm a suffix. He says the maritatz is wrong and I'm right. What about the Mishnah Berurah? He says, no, we follow Rav Poskim. So if there's Rav Poskim, it's Rav Poskim. So the Mishnah says, I don't care what's more chumra. I care about following Rav Poskim. Which makes sense. Even if there was a Dover Rishus versus something. If Rav Poskim is Rav Poskim. After all, there's many shitas that we're not yotzei tefillin that we're not machmer for. Because we follow Rav Poskim. Why don't we put on tefillin during the tam? In case some people do. Agav, tefillin during the tam. You know this tremendous machlokas in Kabbalah. I'm not a bucking Kabbalah, but says the Birka Yosef here, and others says Birka Yosef. Maybe it's on the next page. Oh, yeah. First of all, he also is against the maritats. The law can maritats, etc. Usher against maritats. But then he says a little later, so we should add the brick heel. So here, that's the mitzvah. It's a very lopsided halakha. It says, those who are Rabbeinu Tam, it's a machlokas among the Mekubalim. Those saying the name of the Ari, that you can't wear Rabbeinu Tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. You know, Alpi Kabbalah. I know. For Alpi Halacha, the difference between Tefillin and Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is a machlokas in what the right Pshat of the Gemara is and how to be Yotze the Mitzvah. Alpi Kabbalah, this is true of many machlokas. They Tefillin of Rashi is a certain bechina, and Tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam is a different bechina. And that's why Alpi Kabbalah, like wearing both of them, is not like just misafek, it's they each are pulled different tikkunim. So, the same name, the Ari, Tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam is for certain godless hamochim, which you can't have steer to avelos, and you can't have the mochin of Tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam during avelos. Alpi Kabbalah is bad for Tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam during avelos. Something, the makalka lilum, some yodim said of taki. And then the Rishash, not the Rishash in the back of the Gemara, but the Rishash, the Mekubal, Sharabi, Rav Shimon Sharabi, famous Mekubal, that Rishash, he wore tefillin. He didn't explain why, but he wore tefillin when he was in Rabbeinu Tam during Shiva. Okay, so the Beri Yosef says, Shevi al tasa adif, maybe I'll be Metakin, or maybe I'll be Kotzis Benetios, better Shevi al tasa adif. Lemaise, the Rosh Hashokhan says this, most of my friends don't wear tefillin during Tam, so I'm not sure what the minute is. But I've seen many of the Sfarim nowadays, especially Ashkenazim Sfarim nowadays, say don't wear tefillin during Tam during Avelos, if you normally do, because of the Mesorah from the Ari. Or Ravadia Paskins, you should wear tefillin during Tam during Avelos. He prefers, he makes his own cheshbon as to who he believes, etc., even though he's going against the Chidah, which is one of the greatest Sfarim Yachronim. L'chor, someone's a Sephardi, they follow Rav Avadya. Like most Sephardi, they should wear tefillin during Tam during Avelos. But an Ashkenazi, I think, probably shouldn't, because the Orf HaShochan says we don't, and most of the Ashkenazi Sephardim I've seen say we don't. Okay, so tefillin during Tam during Avelos is a big machlokas between the B'Shem Ha'ari and the Mesorah from the Ari versus the Rishash. I mean, I assume the Rishash might say that that was not what the Ari said. I don't know if the Rishash wants to go against the Ari, but, and I don't understand anything about any mochin, different kinds of mochin, but lemaisa, these are things that are bigger than me. Lemaisa, I think most people say, don't wear tefillin during Tam, shevi al tasa adif. You don't want to, it's always better to like not have a little extra tikkun and not be kotzitz minatios. And therefore, shevi al tasa adif, or Ravadia says you should wear them. Okay. What about someone who's just trying to be Yotzir for your Tom and not trying to be talking Lom Sol Yom? I don't know, Tzarek Yom. Okay.
And you have to change the fact people don't wear tefillin, even though it's like, not really. I mean, I feel. But here, the issue where he was saying the torch is the suffix.
No, because that's a vaday. Right. I mean, what does it mean it's a vaday? After all, someone's fake at the Yom. No, Chazal made vaday rules that, after all, why don't we worry about Brachel Atal saying must be Yotzir? Because Chazal said for some things, you should vaday act this way in Yotzir Shani. Okay, clearly midrabbanan we cannot wear tefillin. That's clear. Yeshkav biyavkham lakar dovin Torah b'shevi al tasa. Just if we're masuvik, what to do? And there we're not masuvik. What did they do in the old days? They mamish had a sfeik at the yoma. I don't know. You know, it's a good question. Tzarech Yom. Okay. Yes.
So these cases, Mari Tatsa, I was talking about Yom Kippur and Yom Misa, but we're still talking about the Yom Kippur. So meaning, if your first day of Avelos was neither of those, what's the difference?
Well, that's a shmua krova.
Let's say you knew and it was with you. But it was on Holomoid.
Ah, that's what you mean. Okay, great. So that's dealt with in the...
I thought that was
in the no, that's not what he's talking about at all. That's dealt with by the Rebbe Kiva Eger. Partially. Says Rebbe Kiva Eger... In the earlier Rebbe Kiva Egers here, there's so many interesting details here. But we can't get into all of them. First of all, he says, the Hainib Yom Kura Avshemes Esmol, meaning don't wear the Yom Kippur, even not the Yom Misa, so we have to add him to the list of people who are against the Maritatsi. Really, everyone's against the Maritatsi, except for the Chayadim. You know, it's really very lopsided. It's interesting. If not for Shlomo Zalman, I don't think anyone would have had any speculations about this. But he really pushed this agenda, I guess. It could be he just had a sheet of the Maritatsi. He really felt the Maritatsi was right. You know, maybe that's part of it. It's not just Stam being Choshesh. Maybe he really saw the sugya differently. Okay, he had a lot of influence here. I think he had a lot of influence here because he's the name that everyone's always quoting. You know, usually, if you want to know what's Minig Eretz Yisrael, they go to the Gesher Chaim. So, okay. The Gesher Chaim says some people think it's Minig Eretz Yisrael, but he checked it out and it wasn't. So, okay, Rosh Shlomo Zalman had this tremendous influence. Anyway, next one, Rav Akiva Eiger says, Emes B'yontif, wear tefillin on Isru Chag B'yom Aleph Shel Acher Yontif. This is a big machlokas. The Gilyan Marsha brings a machlokas about Isru Chag. So here's a great question. What about Isru Chag? Obviously, if the Kfura was on Yontif, right? Isru Chag, the Nikbar Beregel. So, says Rav Akiva Eiger, he wears tefillin. Why? Because even though it's the first day of Shiva, certainly in Chutz La'aretz he wears tefillin. Because in Chutz La'aretz, Yom Tov Sheni counts the first day of Shiva. So he didn't wear tefillin the first day of Shiva. But even there, it's Yisrael. He wears Shiva. Why? Because even though it's the first day of Shiva, the day when he really felt bad was Yom Tov at the Kvura. He couldn't show it to everyone. But he really felt bad then. That's not so pashut. Right? We dealt with this in Morning Seder this year. In the Gilyan Marsha here, he says, again, the Gilyan Marsha is on the next page in the old fashioned, no one here has an old fashioned one. First of all, he says, the Lokum Aritatz. Did I put him on that list of the Lokum? Oh, no, that was basically Birka Yosef, sorry. Says the Gilyan Marsha here, if he was Nikbar Beregel, the Knesset Gedola says not to wear tefillin in Isru Chag, and the Elio Rabba says to wear tefillin in Isru Chag. Okay. So he brings a machlokas, says the Isru Chag, chayav in tefillin, or usher in tefillin. Rabbi Akiva Eiger said he's chayav in tefillin. That doesn't count as the first day. And the Knesset HaGedola says he's usher in tefillin, quoting the Gilyan Marsha. And the Elio Rabba, quoting the Gilyan Marsha, says chayav in tefillin. How do we paskin? The Mishnah Brura. Did I bring a Mishnah Berurah here? There is a Mishnah Berurah here. The Mishnah Berurah definitely paskins. Anyone's? Definitely paskins this. Kenikbar b'yomtif yaniach tefillin b'isruchag. Okay, he's talking about Chutz La'aretz. He doesn't explicitly discuss Eretz Yisrael. But it seems pretty clear that that's where he goes. And the Gesher Chaim paskins this way. And the Mishnah Berurah certainly sounds that way. And that's how we paskin. We paskin that he wears tefillin on Isru Chag. How about a question for only in Chutz La'aretz? What about on Chol HaMoed? For those who are tefillin on Chol HaMoed, anyone here tefillin on Chol HaMoed? Don't be embarrassed. No? Okay.
Until I got here.
We all know people who are tefillin on Chol HaMoed, back in the old country at least. Very few people in this country were tefillin on Chol HaMoed. I can tell you the one place in Yerushalayim where they were, shul in Yerushalayim where they were tefillin on Chol HaMoed if you want. But it's not too common. Says the Mishnah Berurah about Chol HaMoed. He says, Meiniach tefillin bein b'Chol HaMoed. He wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Prima Gadol was mefakpek on this. Okay, says the Mishnah Berurah.
It's just not really the first day.
And how about if Nikbar b'Chol HaMoed?
And your Avila starts...
Your Avila starts after Yom Tov.
Your Yom Kvura.
So but the Kvura, right. Is that a Yomar? Right? Le nohagim lehaniach tefillin b'chol HaMoed. So one question is, do you put it on an Isru Chag? Says Mishmur, you wear tefillin on Isru Chag. He says you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed as well. This is a big machlokas, says the Mishnah Berurah. Yaniach b'chol HaMoed, says the Prima Godim, and this is the Psak and the Gesher HaChayim. Lo yaniach b'chol HaMoed. Lamaisa says the Mishnah Berurah, put it on without a bracha, which is what you do on Chol HaMoed anyway. No one wears tefillin with a bracha on Chol HaMoed nowadays.
Really?
I don't think there's any Jews nowadays who would say a bracha on tefillin on Chol HaMoed.
I don't know.
I think
I don't think the Yekim say a bracha. You think people say a bracha on Chol HaMoed?
I thought I remember from, I was in French here one summer. I could be mistaken.
Okay. I I didn't think anyone says a bracha tefillah kol moed, but you never know. Anyway, l'maisa, yaniach,
bli
bracha.
There are masses to make a bracha, right? And the Mishnah Berurah says not to make it without a bracha.
Whatever.
I thought I remember him saying.
All right, could be. I don't know. I have to ask some yakim. We'll ask Dod. Right? We all know. We all have a friend who's a very serious yakka. Not long-standing, but very serious. So we'll ask him what they do. Okay, thank you. I think that's about it for tefillin. And we're ready to move on. Shen pei tes. Avil asher b'kvisas k'tzutzo v'din gihutz. Avil asher l'chabis k'tzutzo. One of the yisurim of Shiva is kibus. He's not allowed to launder. Chazi, when you get a chance, please. Kol Shiva. Kol Shiva's yamin. V'afil b'mayin levad, even with just water, without detergent. Ul acher Shiva mutter, but kibus is only asher during Shiva, after Shiva's mutter. Shen chash l'chabis kach asher lilbush ha'mechubasim kodim l'kein. And just like it is asher to do laundry, it is also usher to wear freshly laundered clothing. Continuing the machaber, and obviously it's also wear new clothing, that's even more worth more than freshly laundered clothing. Even bed sheets and linens, you're not allowed to wash or to put on fresh ones. Likewise, hand towels. Likewise, hand towels and other things that get dirty a lot that you're allowed to wash at Holomoi. For avails, more chomer, not allowed to wash or put on fresh ones. Even those people, have a special hetter in Chol Moed because they couldn't do laundry beforehand, like someone who got out of jail, got out of captivity, or based on Surim or jail, got out of excommunication, or was matar and neder, not to, or came from overseas, when he went for good reason to make money, not just stop for vacation, and he didn't have time to shave, meaning to do laundry. Just the same thing, so it's interchangeable. Aser may avlo, even someone who couldn't do laundry beforehand, still aser when they're in avelos. Shem iro echmeim kodem avelos, v'nechle v'yad to avelos, aser lichabes. Let's say he just came back from a journey and had like a month's worth of laundry, didn't have any clean clothes, and then all of a sudden become an avel. There's no heter, unlike holomoid, and it's aser to do laundry. Elam kein iro echmeim v'tachmu v'yad shnei avelos echarzat. Only if he had one of these excuses, and then avelos, and then a second avelos, then they were matter for him. L'chabis apenes v'chol, even with detergent. V'afilu tov shiva, even during shiva. V'achi yasen v'tzen him, so beso just privately in his house. V'achi v'ed, not in the river. V'acher sh'tachvu avelo v'zeh harzeh. How about someone who did not have one of these excuses? Just a regular guy, two avelos in a row, it's hard. Set 14 days in a row. V'chabis v'mayim, alo v'nes v'o. Is mutter halfway. He can wash with water without detergent. Okay, that's all mefurish gemaras. And this is all pretty straightforward. There's an interesting chakira, but not such an open chakira. So far, the mechaber has said two things are usher for an avel tok shiva, right? What are the two things that were usher? Wearing freshly laundered clothing, including putting out towels and sheets and pillowcases and etc. And washing. So, what is usher? Right? Toch Shiva Levishas Michubasim and Kibus. Yesh Lachkor, why is Kibus usher? What are the two possibilities? What? It's usher maybe because of a lacha, or it's part of Kibus. Right? So is it usher Mishum Melacha? Or a specific Isser Kibus, right? Valid question.
Levisha or just...
No, within the Isser of laundry is wearing laundry or doing laundry, because doing laundry is caring about how nice your clothes look, even if you're not wearing them yet, and that's against Avelus. Lemaisa, that is a... that is a theoretical chakira, but the clear consensus is, it says in the, 1 second. Um, Yeah, it says in the Torah Mefurish, the Isser is Mishum Malacha, and the Beis Yosef seems to agree it's Mishum Malacha. Dark Yemosha is not 100% clear, and the Shach in Sefkat Zayin says Mishum Da'asar Basiyas Malacha, so it seems pretty clear that the reason is Mishum Malacha, the Isser, the actual, in which case the Isser of Kibbutz is referring to wearing laundered clothes. Actual doing laundry is not an Isser of Kibbutz. That's an Isser of Malacha. Okay, the Dark Moshe goes in there as a rule that even an Oni She'in L'mayochal shouldn't do Kibbutz, which might imply it's not Mishum Malacha. But everyone ignores that. The Torah, the Beis Yosef, and the Shach all say it's Mishum Malacha.
So nowadays, it's a lot easier.
Doesn't matter. It's a Malacha. It's a Malacha. He can't do it, and he can't have anyone do it for him, right? Because no one's supposed to do Malacha for the other.
I thought
Malachan during our days
was
the
manual, strenuous, no?
No, it's still work to do laundry. Okay. This is basically... now the Ramah adds a big chumrah.
It's more writing, I think, it's more work going to get biased than like cooking.
Yes, because it's not... I mean, I don't know what's more or less work, but the assumption is that Chazal decided that certain things were regular maintenance of the house and certain things were malacha, and this is on the side of malacha. You know, obviously in terms of the effort involved is very different, but I don't think it's a matter of effort. I think it's also a matter of, you know, how necessary. Certain things are like daily necessities. And laundry is not a daily necessity. In their days, even our days, we don't do laundry as often as we cook and sweep. Now I don't know about a Bukhram apartment, maybe they never sleep or cook.
Or you lie.
You know, they have to do laundry sometimes because sometimes they have to wear clean clothing to meet their mother someplace else. So, okay, anyway, sorry, Ian, but in regular houses, you know, you don't necessarily do laundry every day, but you do sweep and cook every day, so maybe that's the difference. Says the Ramah, big Chiddush. The Kosos quotes this Riva. Says the Ramah, V'achar Zayin Shariva Olam Nogobo Isser. After Shiva, it's mutter. There's no Isser. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Kibbutz is Usser for 7 days. What's Usser all 30 days? What are the two things the Gemara always says is Usser all 30 days for Shloshim? What? Tisporus and? Gihutz. Which, in modern day Hebrew, what is and according to most Rishonim, what does Gihutz mean? Anyone? Ligahates? Modern day Hebrew? Maghates? Ironing, right. But Kibbutz is only us for 7 days. It's abundantly clear all over Shas that Kibbutz is us for 7 days. Nonetheless, the Riva said Kibbutz is us for 30 days. Va'olam nagubo iser, kedas Riva v'siyato. This is the Ashkenazim aser, but this is, it's not an Ashkenazi thing that was invented and no one knows the reason, like not washing for 30 days. Meaning, maybe it was invented, but again, I'm not a historian. But at the very least, looking back, we'd say the Ashkenazim didn't, they took a lot of Shiva and made it 30 days. They didn't bathe for 30 days. We can't figure out why. There are a lot of very bad theories out there, right? They didn't wash clothing for 30 days. Hold on a second. Here, that's the Shita of one Rishon. It's a Das Yachin Rishonim. It's Mamish, Shutuk Mashmawa Das Yachin. But it is a day in the Rishonim. The Riva says it's Usher to do Kibbutz for 30 days. Why? The Riva quotes a Brisa in the Tosafta that says Kibbutz Usher 30 days. So this is already a sugya. Now, the answer to the sugya is that it's everyone in the world versus the Riva. Right? But it is a real sheet of the Riva that Kibbutz is usher for 30 days. How about the fact that all over Shas it says Kibbutz is mutter after Shiva? So what is Tosos' answer? What chaluk do they make? Says the Shach here. I know, it's not in the Beis Yosef, I don't think. It says the Shach here. Mashma, oh, he quotes Tosos. Hayne shechoshon as far as Riva v'siyato, the Asher Kibbutz kalamid. It's not just a minhag that we have stam. You know, let's make new minhagim for fun. No, we're choshesh for the Riva. This is the minhag that's choshesh for Shitas Yachid. Okay, that already gives all of the basis. Umashma, Tosos, Mekan, Daf, Chokim, Lemon, Aleph, Te'enu, Osel, Mechubas, B'neser, B'neser, V'chol, Walo, B'mayin, Levad. Because of a bach visa, because my levad in circle of bishrach or tchilu pshita shor lachos ayim miyad. Says the shach. It sounds like from Tosos. Tosos also stuck. How does this Riva explain? Yes, he has like one or two Tosefta's. That maybe one other place that say Kibbutz is usher for 30 days. But I have 100 places that Kibbutz is only usher for Shiva. So Tosos says no problem. Kibbutz is only usher for Shiva in water without detergent. The Riva meant with detergent. Okay, this is a pshat in the Riva, but it's a defense of the Riva. In which case, the Riva becomes very similar to which Yesh Omrim in this simon? What Yesh Omrim in this simon becomes very similar to the Riva? Sevat. What does Gihutz mean? Yesh Omrim Sakal B'Lashon Arav. I don't speak Arabic. Anyone here speak Arabic? But that means ironing. The mainstream approach of Masor from Rav Haigon, that Gihutz means ironing. That's the mainstream shot. Gihutz is ironing. The Yesh Omrim, the Yinuka Yosef says, the Hainukibus Mayim Be'efer Obenesser Boris, that it's washing with detergent, water and ashes, or these other kinds of soaps, you know, chemicals that are good for soap. Some people say Gihutz means washing with detergent. Ah, if so, that's already very similar to the Riva, that Gihutz is also 30 days, washing with detergent is also for 30 days. I'm not sure that's what the Riva meant. The Riva might have meant, no, Kibbutz is ironing, Gihutz is ironing, but there are two kinds of Kibbutz and one of them is also 30 days. But at the very least, it's very similar to the Riva. So here we have this Shita of the Riva, right? How about Kibbutz be Sabon, right? I don't know what we call dishwashing detergent nowadays. That means soap. Anyone ever buy dishwashing detergent in the store? What do they call it?
I don't think
so. Neither do I, but I don't know what they do call it. What?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but
it's
a different word.
Like, okay.
Craft or something like that.
I don't know. Anyway, whatever it is. So the Pashup Shot. Pashup Shot in the Machaber is that he's assuming like the irony, even though he brings two Yesh Omrims. And this is the Minig of Sfardim, right? So, Rav Yishonim, Halacha Lemaisa Lesfardim, is that it's Mutar Achar Zion. Basically, there's no difference in washing with detergent and without detergent. Usher for 7 days and Mutar after Shiva. Says the Nimuke Yosef, Zehu Gihutz, that's Gihutz, which is also 30 days, at least in some circumstances. Says the Riva, Zehu Kibus Ha'asar Kalamid. Okay, whether he's the same Nimuke Yosef or not is not clear. Does he think it's called Gihutz, or does he just think it is a kind of kibus that's usher for 30 days? It's not 100% clear. Lemaisa Minig Ashkenaz is to be machmir like that, which means that we don't do laundry for shloshim, but that only means with detergent. Without detergent, you can do laundry after shiva. So if someone's an oval after shiva, they can wash all their clothes, just run in the dishwasher without detergent. Will it get so clean? No, it'll get a little clean.
I got Sibon Nozel for detergent or Chomer Nikoi.
Sabon Nozel?
Yeah.
Sabon. Okay, Sabon. Great. Excellent. Okay. Abzer Amav and Nogan Shadam Alar Acher Lovsham Tchila Vechakach Lovsham Ha'avel Minag Iker. The Minag is someone else wears it. Vechay Nogim Dias Eil Acher Shiva and Lovsham Adam Acher Rak Shah Achaz Dai Bekach. That's the Minag in our countries after Shiva. And if someone wears it for just one Shah, that's enough. What are the two ways to interpret Shah? It can mean an hour or it can mean a time. Says the Shah, Shah doesn't mean an hour, it means a time, even for 2 minutes is enough. So, halacha lemaisa, what do we say? We say kibus, or rather we say levishas begadim mechubasim achar zayin tov lamed. What do we say? If it's b'mayim, mutter. If it's b'sabon, Aser, then love sham acher. Afilu zman katsar mutter. Right, it doesn't have to be an hour, it just has to be a time period. And that's the Minig Ashkenaz. So you have a choice. Basically, if someone's an Avalim Shloshim, they can either wash their clothes without soap, just in water, or they can wash them with soap and get someone else to wear them first for a few minutes. I mean, that's pretty mako, even though, like in the 9 days or something, we say maybe you should wear more than a few minutes. But since this is only chumra bi'alma and achshash, anyway, not the mainstream halacha, therefore, we're mako that a few minutes is enough. What else do we have to point out here? Yeah, very important pesachei tshuvos for cutting base. I'm a shetlach me to da shehela da hadloi tira lecher zayin hainu davka machlif l'tanug l'machlif l'tzorech on shacholik meluch l'chom shimer buvya shari afilu b'chol toch shiva al yidei kach ma b'chit lo aser el shal tainug big kula. Just like we saw this in the Pesach Tshuva Rechitz also, I think. Just like for washing and sicha, it's aser for tainug but mutter for tzorech. Likewise, laundry is mutter for tzorech. Okay, what's tzorech? The truth is that ask any bacher, you can wear for a while. Right? But, says the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, therefore, for example, and let's say underwear, and he didn't even have our underwear, but he said the ksonis, like the bottom shirt. He says, after Shiva, you could for sure be mako, because those get dirty, and also it's pastish for someone else to wear them first. So people consider that gross. And therefore, you can wash them. And he said, then the Aruch HaShulchan says, even during Shiva, if it's like really dirty, then you can change it, just like this Pesachei Tshuva. So that's why the minhag is that if it's for tzorech, let's say, what's tzorech? Let's say underwear. Right? Underwear, how long could you wear underwear without changing it? I know, probably everyone's a little different. And everyone shouldn't tell me what they did when they were bar. You know, clearly you can wear your underwear more often than we usually do. And it'll be okay. It just won't be fresh. Seder, so you're not fresh. That's the point of Avelos. But at a certain point, it becomes irritating. And it becomes difficult to handle. It becomes a tsar. Okay, so if it's a tsar, then you can change. And the same thing could apply to regular clothing. Usually, okay, you can wear your clothing for a bit. You can wear your clothing for a long time. Just someone's saying Shiva, they're not really going anywhere or doing anything. So what happens to their clothing? But let's say their clothing just becomes terribly dirty. Then they can change. So for tzorech, you can change. Is very important. And that's why nowadays, I think the minute, now that we've invented underwear, I think the minute of most people saying Shiva is that their regular clothing, which is above their underwear, they don't change for 7 days. Therefore, once you have underwear, so you can wear the same shirt for 7 days. It won't look nice. It won't look nice, but that's the point. Yeah, it'll look crumpled. It'll look a little dingy. But good. That's what an oven's supposed to look like. So you can wear the same shirt and pants for 7 days, but underwear usually be available and change, you know, when they feel that they need to. That's the Hefter Aruch HaShulchan based on the Lach Meitoda. Yes?
So are you talking about doing laundry or just wearing clothing?
He's talking about being machlif. He's talking about being machlif, not doing laundry. But the simple shot is that since we know doing laundry is only usser because of malacha, and you know someone else doing laundry is someone else doing malacha, you know is probably if someone really needs it for tzar, then it would be mutter. So pashas even to wash it
for someone else or for himself.
Better for someone else. Always better for someone else than malacha than doing himself, right? Even if it's for Dabur Avi, better for someone else.
Finish together the stuff you did earlier. If he did change during Shiva, would you have to start Kriya?
Aha! So who remembers the answer to that? Let's say he did. Let's say he changed his shirt during Kriya.
You do.
There are two ways he could change shirt during Shiva. Either it's tsar, his shirt gets up really gross, and he has to change it. Or what if he just changes it to a non-freshly laundered shirt? After all, who says all the shirts are freshly laundered? Right? Maybe he has another shirt that's not that he wore already. Right? So what if he did change his shirt? So usually they don't wear change their shirts there, but would he have to tear Kriya on the second shirt or not? Who remembers the answer? It's Mefurish. What? It depends who died. If it's his parents, he would have to. Another relative, he wouldn't. That's Mefurish and Siman Shinmen. Good question. Mefurish and Shinmen. For parents, yes. For other relatives, no. Usually what I've seen is that I go to Shiva houses, and everyone's wearing a torn shirt, even not for their parent. Which means that people usually don't change, because why change during Shiva if you don't have to? Maybe they change their underwear. That depends how they feel. I have no idea. I mean, everyone feels a little different. But, you know, I believe that in modern times, someone could wear their underwear for 2-3 days and then really be bitsar. So then it would be perfectly okay lechachila for them to change their underwear. If they're not bitsar, they shouldn't. If they are bitsar, they should. I think it's shchiach nowadays. They might be bitsar. Who knows? It probably depends on a million different factors. But I think it's shchiach nowadays. It would be totally okay lechachila to change their underwear. But usually they don't change their pants and shirt or whatever else clothing they're wearing. But if they would, then whether you have to career again depends on who died.
But didn't we say, we're asking this question about if there's a tzar, maybe you could also do this laundry. Didn't we say, like, if the guy comes right after he hasn't done laundry for a while, then he's an avel, that he can't do laundry? The beginning of the thing?
Right, because the assumption is he can just wear his dirty clothes. What's the big deal?
That doesn't reach the threshold.
Yeah. What?
First one's their pajamas. What's, first of all, does it have to be not fresh? And what about in terms of, you know,
so so what about pajamas? So we assume pajamas are part from Kriya. It's not like a regular beged that's chayv in Kriya.
So you're not chayv to put on that old shirt then next morning for Shabbat?
You mean if they have another shirt that's not freshly laundered? L'chora not. L'chora, I don't see that there's any issur to change from one not laundered shirt to another not laundered shirt. We don't see any place that's usur. For parents, it's also not usur if you don't mind tearing it. So usually people wear the same shirt, but maybe they don't have another shirt that's not freshly laundered. Or maybe, you know, they don't want to tear another shirt if it's their parent, or they don't want to sit and their other relative will have a torn shirt and they won't have a torn shirt. It'll look weird. But I can't think of any isser.
But it shouldn't be fresh,
what?
But it shouldn't be fresh.
No, change to a fresh shirt is usser, right?
Pajamas.
What are pajamas? Lachora, pajamas are low garf from bedspreads, right? They shouldn't have fresh sheets. Lachora, you shouldn't have fresh pajamas either. What if you don't have worn pajamas? What if you don't have worn pajamas? I don't know, borrow pajamas from someone who used them. What if it's pashtus to wear someone else's pajamas? Maybe that's gross. I don't know. Sorry, Ian. What if you're stuck? I guess if you're stuck, you have nothing else to wear, and it's tsar to sleep in your clothing. Okay, then for tsar, it's mutter to wear fresh pajamas. Not everyone wears pajamas. You know? Some people sleep in their clothing. My kids always sleep in clothing. We yell at them every day for the last 10 years that they invented pajamas for a reason. Right? You get the same line. God invented pajamas for a reason. Say, God didn't invent pajamas. People did. So say, people invented pajamas for a reason also. They're created in the image of God. But I haven't convinced them. So, okay. So we should all not have to know any bad things. I may have asked him, but there are a lot of people who don't wear pajamas.
Are those, like, during the 9 days, they purposely, like, dirty their clothing by throwing the ground? Does that help you at all?
Right, so it seems to be that the poskim now for the shloshim minig of Ashkenazim that would for sure help because then someone else could wear for 2 minutes, right? Because that's not a real isser. For the real isser of shiva, I think we try not to rely on that. The poskim don't like that for shiva. Even for the 9 days, it's not such a great solution. But keep in mind, the 9 days are not necessarily a din. It's only a minhag if it's not Shavu'ot Shechalbo. So therefore, there is more room to be made by the 9 days. And half the years there isn't Shavu'ot Shechalbo, according to most poskim. So therefore, it's a little easier. It's getting a little late. I'm a little behind. Let's just read one more. Sif motel chavis begit ketanim shemes avihem. Okay, you're mutter to launder because ketanim are patur avelos, so it's mutter to launder their clothes and then meaning, and they can wear it. Okay, the hour is late, so we will have to stop here. We'll pick up. Amir Tzashem, we're a little behind schedule, but we'll try our best to catch up. We'll pick up Amir Tzashem next Tuesday, right? Next Sunday. Today's Tuesday, right? Next Sunday, there's no shiur because it's Shavuos. All right, not appropriate topic for Shavuos in any case. Better to learn about weddings in Shavuos. Not only because they're happy, but because it's actually a connection. Then about Velas, but we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem next Tuesday.